Hello, my name is Tim Buss and welcome to this AAT podcast. The subject is VAT returns, the main, if only, accounting document for VAT. VAT returns are completed for every VAT accounting period. I'm going to talk about completion of returns, the timing of returns, paying the VAT due, what happens if the return is late, and some general housekeeping points. The VAT return has 9 boxes. The return has been simplified over the years. When VAT was first introduced, the VAT return comprised 26 boxes, so you can see that they have gone down to the bare bones. I'm going to talk about each box and how you complete each box of the VAT return. Box 1 is output tax. That is the VAT that has been charged on sales, although there is a little bit more to it than that. Box 1 should be completed by including all the VAT due to HM Revenue and Customs in the VAT accounting period concerned. This includes VAT on sales, VAT from the reverse charge, the scale charge for fuel, and deemed supplies. These are supplies where there is no VAT paid or payable to you, but the VAT has to be accounted for on the VAT return. Examples of deemed supplies would be goods taken out of the business for own use and business gifts. Box 2 should only be completed if you bring in goods from other member states of the European Union. If you do bring in goods from other member states, you have to declare what is known as acquisition VAT. Provided you give your VAT number to the supplier will not charge you VAT in the country where the goods are sent from. However, that is not the end of the story, and you have to convert the invoice received for the goods to sterling and account for 15% VAT. And that VAT is known as acquisition VAT and is included in box 2 of the VAT return. I said 15% because that is the current VAT standard rate. The standard rate is due to go up shortly to 17.5%. Box 3 of the VAT return is the total of boxes 1 and 2, so you'll get the full amount of the VAT due to HM Revenue and Customs. Box 4 is the box for input tax, that is the VAT you wish to reclaim from HM Revenue and Customs. That is the VAT charged on your purchases and expenses. The VAT claimable should be adjusted for any credit notes and for bad debt relief. Box 5 is the box for the net difference between boxes 3 and 4. So that will be the amount payable or repayable to HM Revenue and Customs. Box 6 is the value of sales. That is the VAT exclusive value of sales. So for example, if you have sold an item for £100 plus £15 VAT, the £15 VAT you will have declared in box 1, your output tax. The £100, the net value of the sale, should be included in box 6. Also included in box 6 is the net value of scale charges for the private use of fuel. Any sales which are zero rated, that is a rate of tax at 0%, although nothing is put in box 1 because the rate is nil, the value of the sale has to be included in box 6. Also the value of any exempt supplies. These are sales outside VAT altogether where you cannot claim input tax, nor do you have to charge output tax, but the value of the sale is included in box 6. Also, the net value of any reverse charges. I did say that in box 1, any VAT on the reverse charge had to be declared. In box 6, you declare the net value of that reverse charge. Reverse charges, very quickly, are where you bring in services from abroad and have to account for VAT on behalf of the supplier. There is more about reverse charges in another podcast known as European Union VAT. Box 7 is the value of purchases. Again, the net value of the purchases, and should include all purchases even where you haven't been charged VAT, for example, where the supply to you is exempt, such as bank charges, or where the supply is made by someone who is not registered for VAT and therefore is not charging you VAT. Items which are not included in Box 7 are wages and salaries paid to staff on the payroll of the business, and statutory charges such as council tax and other taxes. Boxes 8 and 9 should not be touched unless you are bringing in goods from other member states of the EU or selling goods to customers in other member states of the EU. If you do not do this, complete boxes 8 and 9 as nil. Box 8 is the value of sales, and box 9 is the value of purchases bought in from other member states of the EU. Boxes 8 and 9 are compared to other forms which have to be submitted when you bring in goods from other member states and sell goods to other member states, such as EC sales list and the Interstat returns. The normal period for submitting VAT returns is 3 months. There are exceptions, which I will mention. HM Revenue and Customs do not want all the VAT returns coming in one hit, so therefore they will put businesses into different stagger groups, the different VAT return periods when a business first registers for VAT. Stagger group 1 is calendar quarters, so the end of March, the end of June, September and December. Stagger group 2 is the end of April and 3 monthly thereafter, and stagger group 3 is the end of May and 3 monthly thereafter. You can request return dates or accounting periods to suit your business. For example, you may want to retain the accounting periods of the previous VAT registration if you have bought the business or have merely changed the legal status of the business. You may want VAT return periods to coincide with your annual accounting periods. If so, it is simply a matter of writing to HM Revenue and Customs, and 99 times out of 100, they will agree to alter your accounting periods. You can also have accounting periods for 12 to 13 weeks. If that suits your business, you can have VAT returns for 12 or 13 weeks. If you are normally receiving repayments from HM Revenue and Customs, for example, if your business consists of making supplies which are zero rated, allowing you full recovery of any input tax, you can have monthly returns. This obviously eases cash flow. You get the VAT payment quicker. The downside is, of course, you have to complete 12 returns a year instead of the usual 4. There is a system of annual returns. That's one return a year. Unfortunately, it is not one payment a year, because you have to make payments on account throughout the year, with a balancing payment with the annual return at the end of the year. If you deregister for VAT, you receive a final return. That's exactly the same format as a normal return, only it is in brown. And on that return, you declare any stock and assets on hand at the time of deregistration. The return due date is very important. This is the date by which the return and payment has to be received by HM Revenue and Customs. The due date for normal returns is 1 month after the end of the VAT return period. For example, if you have calendar quarterly return periods, your VAT return period ending March would have a due date of the 30th of April. The VAT due on VAT returns can be paid in a number of different ways. Obviously, you can send a cheque with a return, and on the VAT return, you will see a payment enclosed box. You simply tick this box and put the cheque in with the VAT return. You can pay VAT electronically. If you do so, you get an extra 7 days after the due date in which to pay the VAT due. This is not quite as good as it sounds, because if you pay by cheque and you put your VAT return and payment in 1 day before the due date, it will take 3 or 4 days or maybe more to clear. whereas if you pay electronically, it will be taken from your bank account on the day you authorise the payment. Nevertheless, you do get an extra 7 days to pay the VAT due. So in my example, a VAT return period ending 31st of March, the due date for payment electronically would be the 7th of May. You can also submit VAT returns electronically, provided you sign up on the HM Revenue and Customs website. If you go to www.hmrc.gov.uk and click on eVAT, you'll be directed to the section which explains how you register for submitting VAT returns electronically. The best thing about electronic returns is you do get an acknowledgement from HM Revenue and Customs that they have received the return, whereas you do not get an acknowledgement if you submit a paper return. You can pay your VAT by direct debit. This is a fairly new facility, but is very good. If you do pay by direct debit, you get an extra 3 days after the electronic payment of 7 days to submit your return, so you get an extra 10 days to pay the VAT due. The money is collected from your bank account on the third working day after the return is due. And if you submit the return electronically, you automatically get the extra 7 days. So you can see that in my example, if you had a VAT return period ended 31st of March and you pay by direct debit, the payment would not be due until the 10th of May. The figures and the VAT returns can be submitted anytime if you pay by direct debit, but the money is never taken until the 10th day after the end of the VAT accounting period. This can be useful if you go on holiday. You could submit your return shortly after the due date, but not pay the VAT due until 10 days after the due date. If you are late submitting your VAT return or paying the amount due, you will be subject to a default surcharge. This applies regardless of whether you send in paper returns or electronic returns. The first time you are late in paying the VAT due, you'll get a surcharge liability notice, but nothing will happen. No penalty will be charged. This informs you that if you are late again within a 12-month period, you'll be subject to a surcharge. If you are late paying VAT in that 12-month period, the surcharge will be 2% of the VAT due, and the surcharge liability notice will be extended for another 12 months. The default surcharges rise from 2% to 15%, depending on how often you are late in a default surcharge period. If you have a repayment due and the repayment is delayed by HM Revenue and Customs, then HM Revenue and Customs will pay a 5% repayment supplement. They do have 30 days in which to pay the VAT claimed on a VAT return, but that 30 days can be extended for HM Revenue and Customs to make reasonable inquiries as to the accuracy of the VAT return itself. If you cannot get the actual figures for a VAT return and are worried that you will be late and incur a surcharge, you can submit an estimated return. If you are going to submit an estimated return, you must get permission from HM Revenue and Customs to do so. Any balance due from the estimated return should be declared to HM Revenue and Customs on the next VAT return following the estimated return. If you have not traded or made any supplies in the period and do not wish to claim any VAT incurred in the period concerned, you must submit a nil return. Do not leave it, as you will be surcharged. There are a few points to remember when completing and submitting VAT returns. make sure that the person signing the VAT return is a responsible person and knows what's going on within the business. Make checks on the submission of the return to determine it's actually gone through the system. Obtain a certificate of posting, particularly if posting the return late in the VAT accounting period or just before the due date. At the time of recording this podcast, there is a postal strike. It is advisable to obtain certificates of posting because customs will not impose a surcharge or will rescind a surcharge if you can demonstrate that the return has been posted in time, but there have been postal delays which delay its receipt by HM Revenue and Customs. You must keep what is known as a VAT account, which is a summary of the figures which are included on the VAT return itself. Make sure you have sufficient backup schedules so that, if necessary, HM Revenue and Customs can verify the return. If you make an error on the return, then it should be corrected as soon as possible. There is a cap of 4 years within which VAT return errors must be corrected, or else the error can never be corrected. The 4-year cap, which was increased from 3 years on the 1st of April 2009, applies to HM Revenue and Customs and to businesses. If the error is less than £10,000, then the error can be adjusted on the next VAT return after the error is discovered. If the error is more than £10,000, then a voluntary disclosure should be submitted to HM Revenue and Customs as soon as possible. Do not delay it, because if HM Revenue and Customs find the error, then they can impose a civil penalty. The VAT return is an important accounting document. It should be treated with care and completed very, very carefully and checked before submission. From a date to be announced, which was thought to be April 2010, but is likely to be extended, HM Revenue and Customs are going to impose electronic submission of VAT returns on all businesses with a turnover of £100,000. We'll wait and see when this actual date occurs.